Okay, we're going to go back into some of the Nazi links and the worldwide links to these outrageous murders or near murders. But if they didn't get them by riddling holes in them, the recipients got the message. And you can better believe, just like Ronald Reagan turns his back and he'll go to California for a month, Haig and Bush are in the saddle. And as I say, the episode is the message, and no more has to be done. I might add that along with all of these various conspiracies, there always is the same kind of problem to confront the media with the evidence as against the cover story. The San Francisco Examiner last Sunday had an article, Rome Police Eye the Possibility of a Second Gun. They referred to controversial photographs. One shows a hand outstretched holding a pistol. And at the edge of the picture, that made the cover of the major magazines and newspapers. Yet the witnesses in the crowd saw a gunman holding a pistol with two hands. So that the cover story, the hand outstretched holding the pistol, isn't necessarily the one. And we go back to the second man theory. I remember when Newsweek and Time, particularly Newsweek, altered the scope. Lee Harvey Oswald drew a scope on the gun, or rather erased it, a picture of him holding it. When they found out the gun was delivered with a scope, they put the scope back on. This is a trick that they've been doing the 17 years I've been studying them. So we see the hand, and then the people in the audience are waiting for the Pope said, no, he was holding two hands, similar to Chapman's when he shot John Lennon with two hands on the gun. People out in the audience waiting to see the Pope described a man dressed in a dark suit running away from the scene. And yet Muhammad Ali Ajar was wearing a open shirt with a light gray suit. So it's like the girl with the polka dot dress who's saying we shot Robert Kennedy and running away, and then Sirhan's left to take the rap while Thane Caesar shoots him from the back of the head and becomes the leader of the Nazi party in not in Bakersfield, it's down in California. I'll think of the town in a minute. He's down there organizing Nazis at the present time. The assistance with funds, as I say, $100 a day traveling through Europe, dress smartly, staying at posh hotels. This was written up in the newspaper this week. And then somebody at one of the places where he stayed said, well, even if he is at a hostel that isn't a posh hotel, he was very well-mannered and well-groomed. In quotes, he certainly was not a hitchhiking hippie. Well, you know, that's as outrageous as when I was at the trial with Russell Little. I was sitting outside on the bench talking to his mother, and she was telling me, here he's being charged with murdering Dr. Foster. And she says, oh, Russell was such a fine Christian boy at home. He was brought up so fine. I don't know how I got into this. She says, he came out to California, to Berkeley, and there were all these hippies and all those tambourines and people. And I looked at her eyeball to eyeball and said, tambourines don't kill people. So even though he's sitting with loaded pistols and 34 bullets in his pocket when he's arrested and hollowing out cyanide bullets, I'm not saying he did it or didn't do it, but he was up to his eyeballs with poison and hollow bullets and pockets that he was arrested with. And I don't think that hitchhiking hippies would shoot down the Pope. And this is part of the problem. Even the news media today, a guy is very refined and speaks three languages and well-mannered and well-groomed and takes a shot at the Pope going down the street, and he's every bit the man or born. These are the contradictions we have in our society that really want to make you puke. Oh, Riverside is the city where Thane Caesar is organizing the Nazi Party in California. I learned just several months ago, the man who did the fatal headshot behind Robert Kennedy's head. Also, initially, the Associated Press said, at the shooting of the Pope, two people were arrested, but the police let them go, and a third one is sought, but then they concluded only one man was involved. That's like the famous tramp pictures at Dealey Plaza with three men taken off Dealey Plaza when John Kennedy was murdered in the company of police. None of them were fingerprinted, named, or charged, and they were let go. You would think, to make things difficult for the researchers, they'd have a different recipe or formula, but they just seem to use the old one over and over again because they don't care, or they don't think you care, or you know the difference. And then, of course, the similarities of the discrepancies in the amount of bullet holes in the Pope. First, it was three bullet holes in his arm and stomach and so forth, and then to reduce it to the single assassin, they had to end up with two bullets in his body, even though they had diagrams of all the other bullets. And just to make things more distorted, they had sort of a, like the famous 399 bullet in the Kennedy assassination that went through John Kennedy and John Connolly and ended on the stretcher, that pristine bullet that threw Kennedy's back and out his throat and into Connally's wrist and out the wrist and into the thigh and out the leg and found on a stretcher with no blood and part of it still in Connally. They pulled this one. Would you believe they pulled this again at St. Peter's? They pulled this. The Italian news agency was concerned. They said that with all the wounds that the American tourists had, in addition to the Pope, they may have been caused by only two bullets, two 9-millimeter bullets. According to the report, now listen to this, one bullet grazed the Pope's right upper arm and then entered the chest of Anne Audrey, who's recovering, and the other bullet, this is like 399, hit the Pope in the lower back, passed through his abdomen, broke his left index finger, exited from his body, and shattered the left elbow of Rose Hall. And therefore, according to the Washington Post, May the 17th, 1981, there are only two guns. This says, this reconstruction would fit in the theory that there were two gunmen if there's no other explanation, but this explanation of the body would erase the idea of the two gunmen. I can't figure that logic, and if all that happened, then you didn't need two gunmen. So, again, they oblige us with another Dallas, Texas. It's unbelievable, but it's true. Now, finally, in San Francisco Chronicle on the 18th, the U.S. ambassador from Turkey, Sukru Eladad, I may not be pronouncing this right, said that Muhammad Ali Aja was part of an international conspiracy. It took from the shooting on the 13th to the 18th for a person who's in the know over there, who knows about the trial and the hearings coming up that I mentioned before, to say it was international. He said he is not only a professional killer, that is his profession, he is hired, and he is shielded by unidentified international right-wing political groups. And this took it away from the national Turkish element that they're trying to either squeeze a loner or a little bitty Turkish conspiracy into a larger international, which is where the evidence lies. Well, if it's international, what are the motives? They're far, far right-wing. Well, Nazis and the Nazi junta are planning another coup, or did plan in Spain, and they'll keep trying. They had a coup in Bolivia and one in Korea and Colombia, and now they've had theirs in Ecuador. They'll take over. So the motive there is the same as here. Where do they get their funds? Narcotics traffic. Again, how are they protected? By the police, who are sympathetic with the intelligence units and the links of German intelligence to these particular people. What is their function? To kill politicians, newspaper people, public officials. They have a killer team for the purpose. And their larger goal is world Nazi organization and fascism in order to halt the expansionism of the Soviet Union. We've heard it before, and you'll hear it again, and the killings will keep escalating. The ambassador from Turkey to the United States said Aja traveled through 7 countries. Actually, he traveled through 14. He didn't add them all up, but he acknowledged that he went through 7. He just has to get a few more pieces of information that came out in the news this past week. He's provided with false identities wherever he went. He was taken over by an international group, and, as I say, funds deposited in his mother's account, $4,000, $5,000, and more. She isn't that pathetic thing sitting on the steps that you think she is, and money is taking care of mom at home. The article says from the ambassador that you have to assume his contacts and friends provide money, weapons. He's directly encouraged. He's willing to be used. He uses their money and the resources, and he is directly linked to international authorities who are aware of his right-wing connections. Now, finally, a good writer from the New York Times came forward and did some good stories. Marvin Howe, H-O-W-E, from Turkey, linking Aji to the Nationalist Action Party in Turkey, the fascist organization I mentioned before, with their foreign connections spread all over the world. And this article of the New York Times goes into great length about the intrigues and the links to particular people in Germany and German intelligence that protect them wherever they go. So that the New York Times and the story of Washington, the Associated Press story and the Chronicle of this past week were the first to make the international connections. Now, the international connections just didn't begin in a vacuum. And you've heard the Gray Wolves, the story of the Gray Wolves that Aja belonged to. The Gray Wolves is described in The People's World. Carl Blois has been writing good articles about this and the Reagan shooting. He has an article, The Pope, the Wolves, and the CIA. And he says the Gray Wolves, the bloody terror pack, are a league of idealists. They call themselves the Idealist Youth, or the UGD, known as the Buzkurt, B-U-Z-K-U-R-T. It is a mythical gray wolf, according to this author, said to have led the country's original population out of Central Asia. Now, I'm wondering, I pulled out articles from my file about Adolf Hitler's, well, he had his werewolves, or his wolf cubs. And Adolf Hitler and the Turkish people had very much in common, and they used the youth group to organize a fascist front to get their governments in power. Hitler's werewolves were formed after the war was over in 1945 to rebuild Germany for World War III, which is part of the pain that you're going to feel or you're beginning to feel now. Now, at the end of World War I, the Ottoman Empire controlled all of the Middle East, and Turkey lost their territory after World War I. And Germany lost its territory and its pride after World War I and the Versailles Treaty. So in Germany, Hitler, with Reinhard Gehlen in the intelligence, was arming for World War II to regain territory and lost pride, and Hitler and the Nazis would later take control of the Middle East, and I mentioned the Grand Mufti and Hitler and the organizations of the oil links and the Middle East to Adolf Hitler, well-planted agents throughout the entire Persian Gulf, sympathetic to the Hitler goals. But in order to revive the Ottoman Empire for Turkey, these young gray wolves followed their packs that have combined with the Hitler werewolves that have grown up since World War II, so that one group can feed the other simpatico, in that each was denied its right for power and terrain and territory. And if they combine, maybe they would promise Turkey back their holdings in the Middle East if they could get them, and exchange oil and geography, so that the young Hitler wolf clubs and the mythical gray wolf are not far apart in the relationships of the German banks, where the far-right Turkey keep their money, their protection from being sent back. The Turkish government asked for Ajaf four times and or more, and they wouldn't return him. Interpol, which is a Nazi organization funded now and located in Paris since World War II, refused to acknowledge anything about these organizations until there were holes in the Pope, and even now they're not acknowledging very much of what's going on. The League of Idealist Youth is the youth movement current in Turkey now, and working with the National Action Party. Now, taking the werewolves in Germany and the young gray wolves in Turkey, all with a similar ideas, you take it one step farther to the United States of America with the Young Americans for Freedom. This is a group formed by E. Howard Hunt and Douglas Caddy in 1960 when John Kennedy won the election against Richard Nixon. They were young people brought over by General Walker and the far right-wing neo-Nazi group to Dallas, Texas, for the express purpose of taking part in smearing Adlai Stevenson and killing John Kennedy. Young American for Freedom took on Richard Vogery, who now runs the computers to get rid of all the left or middle congressmen, and is swinging our Congress similar to an elected dictatorship eventually, like Hitler had in 33. The YAF has Richard Vogery in full power in Congress now. And then they brought in Tom Charles Houston, this is from the nucleus in Germany that came to the United States, who formed the COINTEL program that was to combine the FBI, the CIA, the National Security Agency that was broken up at the time of Watergate by John Dean. The Tom Charles Houston plan was to bring Operation Chaos into the United States to break up any leftist organizations and the United Prisoners Union, the Venceremos, the Black Panthers, the gay movements, the Indian movement, and it infiltrated all these movements and successfully broke up every single movement in the left that had a chance to begin, except I think all that's left now is Save the Seals and Save the Whales. And Alexander Haig last week said that we're doing away with the Save the Seals policy in one Swoop, that's out because he says the Eskimos need to kill seals. So you can give that up and take the bumper sticker off your car because seals aren't going to live long. And that's about the last radical movement going on in this country. But out of Germany to the United States, brought over by the CIA, was the organization to settle in Dallas-Fort Worth under Robert Morris that brought us Richard Vogery, one of the worst blights in American history, and Tom Charles Houston out of Indiana, who that's the group that formed the SLA. And they brought Operation Chaos into this country with the Nazi group, the neo-Nazi group of the Manson family, and the forming of the SLA for counterintelligence to break up the young groups. So we get a youth group, the Young Americans for Freedom, and they're winging their way into every state in this country, and I say with computers funded by the far-right church, not far-linked from the entire gray wolves and the werewolves of Hitler. There's a linear connection between the people who were displaced in Turkey and the generation that grew up afterwards and want their muscle and want their territory. They want the United States out and they want Russia out. And all of these people, whether the YAF in America or Hitler's werewolves or the Turkey youth group that are all linked, know what they want. They want a dictatorship. They want a control of the banks. They want a control of minorities to get rid of. They don't want to compete with them or look at them. They have a singular purpose. They have unlimited money. And they are avenging. They call themselves avengers. And they have the same people organizing them. And that is the dangerous thing. We can't just look at the shooting of the Pope, and I'll do more again next week, but I didn't want to put it off on the background of these people. Again, what do they get out of taking pot shots at this jolly old man in his white silk suit walking down, you know, driving along and blessing people in front of St. Peter's? They get a lot out of it, and basically this group, who I don't believe for a moment, didn't blow up the plane in Ecuador this evening. They're going to, as I say, to have a bloodbath in other countries, and they want the Pope to take his sticky fingers out of those countries. I'll read you quotations that he's had about the rich and poor. And no matter what his background was in the past, many people come to the front and live up to the job. It doesn't matter whether he worked for IG Farben or Auschwitz at the time of the war and saw the Nazis in full control and worked with many Nazis and instigates trouble in Poland. He still has other features about him and has traveled to South America and Mexico and is much in touch with the Latin American people and the problems in El Salvador and the killing of the priests and the nuns. And we're seeing it in Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Cuba. There's going to be a bloodbath. And you can't have a pope around who's saying, don't do it. This pope was interviewed. He knew that there was going to be a coup in Spain in February of this year, and he didn't go along with it, and Haig did. Pope got the bullets, and Haig didn't. And it's just about that simple. If you can't figure it out, the one who doesn't want the far right in is going to get the bite the bullet. And the one who wants it is running the world. Unfortunately, that's the way it is, and that's the way it will be. And until people make up their minds, it's going to change. Now, there's one person I've been talking about the last few weeks on this program with a name so ridiculous it's almost comical to talk about it. That's that comic character called Mr. Despatch, who lives in Washington, D.C., a member of the far right wing who said on March the 15th that Ronald Reagan was going to be the first to die, and then it would be the priest, and he would start with the Catholic Church and the priest next, and 2 weeks later, the Pope was shot. I mentioned that Despatch has a German wife. He uses German language. He's linked to the Maharaji Ji, the Divine Light Mission, started in Southeast Asia that came to the United States, heavily funded. He was in Denver, Colorado for a while, now headquarters in Florida. This Despatch is an offshoot. For whatever reason, I read to you twice on the air his invitation to the bloodbath that is going to begin, the heads will roll, and so forth. Now, he was an offshoot of the Divine Light Mission. And the group that are working with Aja in Turkey, there's several of them. One gave his passport, one put his face on the passport, and one gave false documentation that they needed. He has three friends, And one of these friends is a member of another fascist group called the Divine Ideal. And I don't know how far removed, with their tentacles in Asia, they also have tentacles in Asia, whether the Divine Ideal or the Divine Light Mission have anything other than names in common, but they have the same goals. And I was wondering if, in time, the predictions of Mr. Daspach that people in Washington have taken as being too ridiculous to be believable will, in fact, come true as he continues the escalation of particular assassinations and murders that he wants to take place, because I'm not quite sure about the Divine Ideal, as I say, and the other connecting links. But it's worth watching because the names are so funny, they're really not funny. One is Fernando Daspach from Washington, and the other refers to himself as Baz Bug, Mr. Turks, the leader of the National Fascist Party in America, subscribes to these organizations. And I'm finding hard to accept these as real names. I think it's a Baz Bug means the Fuhrer, a Turkish word for the Fuhrer. But I think there's a play of words on here, and whether it's the Divine Light or the Divine Ideal, the common denominator are connecting links in Germany, funds from Germany, and the personal intent for bringing down a lot of chaos, which is similar to the Operation Chaos that Mr. Tom Charles Houston wanted in this country, with a lot of arrests of people, of interrogation, of sending all kinds of dirty tricks going back and forth and breaking up the people who really have an intent to make a change in society for the better. I have a list of dirty tricks that they always had in mind that go everything from blowing your mind completely to just a little bit, to medical experiments, to sending letters home that you're sleeping with a black man, and like they did to Gene Seberg, your baby's going to be black. And they have never run out of ideas for Operation Chaos, and I think we're going to see a lot of chaos coming down soon if an example of living under Ronald Reagan in California for 8 years is a good example, then at a national level, an international level, you're going to feel it also. In terms of money, this character that I talked about that spent $100 a day, so far he has acknowledged or described to the police. He was visiting Malta. He was in Tunisia for 2 weeks. He was in Spain for 3 weeks on a vacation. He was in Frankfurt, Germany, and married a German wife and lived there quite a while. He was in Bulgaria and Yugoslavia, and then he made some trips to Palermo, Sicily. He was in Rome and in Milan. Of course, he was in Rome twice. He made a trip to Greece. He was in Naples and Brussels, Belgium. He escaped from Turkey and went to Iran and then went back to Turkey. He was in Denmark. He was in London 2 weeks, and he has them checking out where he stayed. He said he got his orders for what he did in London. And as I say, he's really thumbing his nose at you. He's really tantalizing people, you know, like, my orders to do what? Well, the orders for Jonestown came out of Germany and London and the money, too. So they're really putting the American establishment against the wall. You know, how are they going to respond to this? They just keep scratching their head, and the newspaper finally dried up of ideas, and they said, we're going to give him 50 hours off of interrogation. And the last news story was that he didn't need the 50 hours, but I think the news people did. They said, we'll wait till we hear from Spain, and we'll wait till we hear from Switzerland and London. We can't do much, and I think they wanted a holiday over Memorial Day. He's taxing their brains. So in the meanwhile, he gave him a little cues. He'd been to France, as I say, Denmark. So he's been around a lot, and then he's confusing them in some of the places where the passport says he was. He was in another city another time. They're also trying to limit him to 3 passports and 3 aliases, and if they can't find him in London under those, then he didn't stay in London, and he is telling them where he stayed and what he did there. So they don't know who, they're not acknowledging other passports, and they don't know who would get him in and out of those countries, and Interpol says we don't have a record. Well, with these kinds of connections and 129 organizations in Western Europe linked to the Turkey group, and if it's a Nazi group, then they have cities all over the world and safe houses and nests. And so this guy can just keep, he's mobile, and he can go from city to city, which is what he did. And he picks up a gun here, and they can't even with ease pick that up. He has money. He's been in Italy several times. He gets around, as I say, in Milan and then back to Italy. And he's gone to these Italian cities. Nobody knows except at one place what he was doing. He stayed at one hotel, and then they said he went to another hotel to be with a prostitute whose name was Georgia. I mean, it sounds so unreal. It reminds me when James Earl Ray, the alleged assassin of Martin Luther King, went to left Memphis, Tennessee, and then went to Montreal and London and Portugal, and then went to the Dallas bar in Portugal with some people by the name of Payne. That's the name of a family that Lee and Marina Oswald were with at the time they were involved, or Oswald allegedly killed John Kennedy. The route of these people and the aliases they use are the fact that they have minute details that he was with a particular prostitute at a particular time are comical, because the really important things they're avoiding. Now, the Turkish police, according to a night news service, have a story that they warned his mother when people came, don't talk. They kicked out a French photographer. She can't give interviews unless approved by authorities. Nobody has permission to see her. She can't take in anybody. And they said, in quotes, don't sell yourself without the police. The police here will take care of you. That's a nice quotation for a mother. Don't sell yourself. Because in this country, when we have a political assassination, we have a televised story. I guess these mini documents come out within 2 weeks after the occasions these days. And somebody's making a heap of money. I don't know who it is. The media is trying to blame poverty and disease when he was young. As I say, his childhood disease, when he was 4 years old, he had few friends, and his mother said he had that kind of psychology. He was lonely when he was four, but then all of a sudden, if you read further in the story, it says, mysteriously, he broke from poverty and isolation. As I say, this is a nice night news story. Mysteriously, he began to attend the technical school in Ankara, Turkey. It was part of the economics faculty at the Istanbul University. Thousands of people were recruited by extremist groups in 1979. The werewolf group, it's interesting, the Grey Wolves, were formed in 1969 in Turkey. That he was a part of that group, grew into that group, because 1969 was the year in the United States that the COINTELPRO program began with Tom Charles Houston. So while we had it in this country, it was formed identically with the youth group over in Turkey. He was recruited with these people. He was allowed to escape from prison. He had a lot of money. And from 1978 to 1980, 2,000 people of his ilk escaped from the prisons. There were about 5,000 people killed in Turkey in 2 years in a bloodbath. As I said, some of them are being charged for the crime. 230 are being charged for the crime of 600 and some people. 2,000 that were arrested left Turkey. Most of them went to jail. They're trained assassins. They can blow up planes. They can bomb bridges. They can kill writers. They're there for that purpose, and people that know him know that he's there for that purpose. Well, I think I've given you as much as I can in 1 hour on this very interesting character. As interesting as he is, it's interesting to watch the media clam up. I'll do more on this next week, and watch your newspapers. There won't be any headlines. You have to read the little tiny print. I'm almost on the sports page these days to get a little news about him. But he's there, and he's very real, and he's real in a lot of countries. So we'll continue more on this next week. And in the meantime, you take care. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.